But after he'd spent all that money, well, that sounds just about like our generation, you know. You got money, you can have friends, you can have big time, you can travel. Oh, you got everything just lovely, haven't you? But finally, he spent all that money his poor old father had supplied for him. And there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And his friends left him, by the way. When your money runs out, your friends run out. When you're a backslider and a long way from home, you don't have no friends. You got to go back where you came from. And he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And that citizen sent him in the fields to feed the swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He had to even eat things lower than the hogs. That's where every backslider is going to get for God to turn them back here in this end time. That's going to be the biggest harvest of souls this nation has ever seen, his backsliders returning back to the Lord. They're going to have to get in the hog pen, though, and God, that's where he's going to put them, right in the hog pen, eating with the hogs. So while the old boy was in the hog pen, the Bible said in verse 17, and this is the only way you can ever get a fellow turned around, is when he comes to himself. He came to himself. The Holy Ghost was moving there. That's the only way you can come to yourself, is for the Holy Ghost to come and help you. And the Holy Spirit came and moved on him. He came to himself. He said, "My Lord, I'm in the hog pen, in the hired service, in my father's house, have bread enough and to spare, and I'm perishing with hunger. What am I doing here? I'm a fool." That's the best thing you can say to yourself when you're a backslider. Look in that mirror and say, "You fool, you." Really, that's what you are, and I'm not calling you that. The Bible called you that. Praise God. That's what you ought to call yourself. You big fool. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to rise, and I'm going back to my father. And I'm going to say to him, now this is repentance. This is the way repentance works. You don't come back in there and say, "Hey, I'm back again. Here's your old boy." He don't want no old boy, not like that. That's why he didn't go look him up. He didn't want that old boy like the old boy was. He wanted that old boy to get that old boy out of him. Then the old boy could come home when he got humbled. He says, "I'm going back and I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of thy hired servants." He got all that fixed up in his mind, that confession, that repentance that he was going to come back and do before the Father. And so when he headed that way, while he was a long way off, the Bible said the Father saw him, and he had compassion, and he ran and fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And the Son then hears his repentance. "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." Lord have mercy, that puts you back in first-class shape again when you really do that and mean it. But the Father said to the servant, "Bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand." That means he restored to his position as being the firstborn, an inheritor. "Put shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf. Kill it and let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead and he's alive again. My son was lost, but he's found again." And then you find the elder son got jealous, and he said, "What is that going on in that house, all that dancing and music?" And the servant said, "Why, your old brother's come home." He wouldn't even go in. He said, "I don't want to do that party. That old fella, that old boy's been out, and he's wasted the Lord's money. He's wasted his life and all of that." And he says, "I've been here all the time, and he's never had a party for me." So his father found out. He went out to him and said, "Son, all of God's yours." You could have it when you want it. It's always there. Said, "You're always with me. I don't have to worry about you. He was out there looking down the road for that lost son to come home. He knew that other one was all right. He said, "Well, I've served you without grumbling all this time. You never killed me a fatted calf. But when this old boy that devoured all your living with harlots came back, you killed the fatted calf and threw a party for it." He said, "Son, it was necessary, it was right that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead. He'd gone to hell if he'd died in that hog pen. He was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he is found. I'll tell you, we need to recognize in the Bible all this old preaching about you can't backslide and get back to the Lord. There's a lot of prodigals aren't going to make it back to the Lord. I thank God for all of those that will. But I'll tell you, reading the Bible so many places, like in the book of Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Listen to this. Beginning in verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. It's not God that leaves the Son. It's the Son that leaves the Father. God don't ever leave anybody. It's you and I that leaves the Lord. And we can walk off any time you get ready. God don't hold us prisoner. We can leave if we want to go. But we ought to thank God we don't have that want to in us to leave. We can get that want to, like the elder son, to stay out there and be at work. Praise God and be faithful. So he says, but exhort one another, continuing Hebrews 3. Exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What a warning from the Holy Ghost. And there's so many warnings in the Bible about our conduct, how that we ought to behave ourselves toward others. And we need to remember, like Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Remember, tomorrow the devil may have you in the sifter. Like Peter. You may need somebody to have compassion and pray for you in that condition. In the last two verses of James, in James 5, 19 and 20, speaking of a backslidden brother, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, that means you turn him back again. Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. You'll keep him from going to hell. And you'll cover or hide a multitude of sins. It's worthwhile to seek out a man or a woman that has known God to get them back. They're easier to get back than a first time. If God's dealing with their hearts. Because they know what they're missing. Like the prodigal son, when they come to themselves, they say, hey, I know how nice it was when I was in my father's house, when I had favor with God. Oh, that joy and peace and blessings that the Lord had bestowed upon me, and here I am forfeiting all of these wonderful things to be out here in the hog pen. What's wrong with me? I'm a fool. I'm going back to my father. A backslider knows what he's missing. A sinner don't. He's never tasted of the good word of God and all of these wonderful things of the Lord. What happens to that backslider when he gets away from the Lord? I want to show you from the scriptures here what happened to that backslidden Israelite church, the church of old, in their wretchedness and misery because of their ups and downs. In other words, their backslidings and their obedience to the Lord. Beginning in 1 Kings 8. Listen to this. 1 Kings 8. Here's Solomon dedicating the great temple. And in verse 50, he's praying here for his people. In verse 48, he says, when they return unto thee with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and they pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers. In verse 50, he says, forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they be thy people, and thine inheritance which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, and from the midst of the furnace of iron. Here we see that God, when he brings his people out of Egypt, the Bible says, and I like this, in Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, the Bible said that God brought them out to bring them in. God wants to bring every person that starts off with him into that kingdom of heaven. He don't want to lose the one. Jesus even prayed that the Father would give him every one of those that believed on him through his name. In John, the 17th chapter. He said, I've kept every one that you gave me, and only one is lost, and that's the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The Lord don't want to lose a sheep on the way trying to get them to heaven. So Solomon says, Lord, whenever your people rebels against you, here in 1 Kings 8 he's praying, but they turn to you, they repent from their transgressions that they've sinned and transgressed against you. Please have compassion on them before their captives, these captives before their captors, that they may have compassion on them. Even in their captivity, I want you to remember them, Lord. Again, we find in 2 Chronicles, the 30th chapter. Here's the great king Hezekiah that's praying again for the people of God that had backslidden. This in 2 Chronicles 30, verses 8 and 9. He said, now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever. And serve.